Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Sinn Féin has called on an independent Donegal County Councillor to consider his position over allegations he made last week. Latest figures reveal today that there has been a large drop in the number of Enterprise Ireland supported companies in Donegal and 1,000 less jobs since 2001. Boyd Search and Rescue have confirmed that they have recovered a body from the River Foyle today. And another deadline for progress in the ongoing MICA campaign in Donegal has passed. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisín Kelly at about 5:15. But first in news, England's trouble can be Ireland's gain when it comes to Brexit, according to the Transport Minister. Sheehan Ross was speaking at the All-Ireland Civic Dialogue, where the EU's Brexit negotiator told politicians they were 100% behind Ireland during negotiations. The gathering heard from politicians from across the island about the importance of avoiding a hard border. Minister Sheehan Ross says it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom.
I'd hate to remind you of the quote of Daniel O'Connell in a hostile sense, but there are, as he said, that England's difficulty is Ireland's opportunity, and if they insist on imposing this self-inflicted wound, it's something that we can probably take advantage of.
Sinn Féin has called on an independent Donegal County Councillor to consider his position over allegations he made last week. Councillor Micheál Colmagill Osbach has claimed that a man was approached by Sinn Féin members and that at some point a threatened visit from the IRA was made. This has been strongly denied by Sinn Féin, and the man, who it's claimed was threatened, has said it never happened. Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty says the accusations have been damaging and proved untrue. He says Councillor Micheál Osbach must now consider his position.
Well, I know that if it was one of our councillors, that went on the radio and they spoke to you, Greg, and this is completely hypothetical, but let's say that one of our councillors went on the radio and accused a common member of Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil or indeed Micheál Collins' group of some type of criminal activity, sexual abuse or something like that there, but wouldn't mention their name, but just was kind of, you know, broad brush targeting them all, and that was proven to be unsubstantiated, I would be demanding their resignation. They wouldn't be fit to be a public representative in that case. And as I said, there's loads of political attacks. He went on the radio, he did it in every single radio station. I'd rather be talking about this, that and the other. Well, if you'd rather be talking about this, that and the other, why did he coordinate with Gary Donnelly to break this story in Derry City Council, unsubstantiated allegations, which was that members of Sinn Féin went to an individual's house and threatened them that the IRA would be knocking on their door. And then he followed that up by going to national radio through Reading the Gaeltacht and then any other radio station that he'd go on. If he wanted to be talking about other things, then why didn't he just, if he genuinely believed that this was true, report it to the guards? The guards would have called to the individual's house, which happened, and he would have told him it was nonsense, which happened. But that isn't what the agenda was here. The agenda was about destroying the character of individuals belonging to Sinn Féin and to try and draw me and Mary Lou into a nonsense argument.
Gardaí are investigating the suspicious disappearance of a 30-year-old woman from Sligo. Natalia Carazan hasn't been seen at her home in Croyson Park since early yesterday morning. She's 5'8" in height, of slim build with green eyes, and has medium-length straight blonde hair. Her home has been sealed off and technical officers are carrying out a forensic exam. Gardaí and Sligo are looking for information over the movements of a beige Peugeot 308 estate car with a partial registration 09DL. A 16-year-old from Inishowen in County Donegal has been charged with a series of driving offences that a judge said were reminiscent of events in Toronto, Barcelona and Westminster when drivers drove into crowds. The youth, who cannot be named, is charged with a series of offences including dangerous driving, driving while unfit and driving without insurance on April the 28th. Trish Lafferty reports.
Derry Magistrates Court was told today of how the PSNI were alerted by Gardaí that a vehicle, a blue van, had failed to stop at Bridge End and was travelling in the direction of Derry City. Police attempted to stop the vehicle on the Strand Road, but the driver made off. A chase ensued, with police attempting to stop the van before it crashed into the police vehicle, causing minor injuries to two officers, making off again and mounting a pedestrian walkway along the River Foyle. The youth was eventually arrested and charged. District Judge Peter King said the driving was reminiscent of incidents in various parts of the world and said it was lucky no one was killed. He said it was absolute madness and added that he did not believe any bail conditions could guarantee it would not happen again. The judge said Gardaí were also keen to speak to the youth. He has been remanded in custody to appear at the next sitting of the youth court.
Latest figures reveal today that there has been a large drop in the number of Enterprise Ireland supported companies in Donegal and 1,000 less jobs since 2001. Over the past 17 years, the number of Enterprise Ireland companies in Donegal has decreased from 194 to 125, coupled with a 22% decrease in jobs in Enterprise Ireland supported companies. These figures come after it was revealed last month that the number of IDA supported jobs in the county is lower than the national average. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says the government must step up now to provide fairness for the people of Donegal.
What we have here is shocking figures. Since 2001, there are today one-third less Enterprise Ireland supported companies in Donegal, down from 194 then to 125 today. But even more shocking is the fact that although jobs in Enterprise Ireland supported companies across Ireland have grown by one-third since 2001, here in Donegal, we're down over 1,000 jobs. It's clearly shocking neglect. The reason why I put in all these questions is that we had a report in 1989, the Employment Task Force report. That was all about Donegal catching up with the rest of the country. Now, all of these years later, not only have we not caught up, we've fallen even further behind. So we need the government and the minister to immediately meet with IDA and Enterprise Ireland and to demand a plan from these two job creation agencies that delivers fairness to the people of Donegal.
And this follows earlier revelations by yourself that already showed that IDA supported jobs in Donegal were below the national average, and this is scenario was just getting worse.
The IDA figures were shocking in that the growth in IDA supported jobs in Donegal was less than half. It was about 18% compared to 50% nationally, so well behind. That was shocking, but these figures from Enterprise Ireland are even more shocking. And what it is a story of government failure, but it's also a story of lost prosperity for the people here in Donegal. These figures are facts, they're the truth, they're the reality, and they're about the neglect of our people and of our region.
17 women who were part of a review of the cervical check programme have died. The audit involved 208 women with cervical cancer, the majority of whom might have benefited from earlier intervention. An inquiry will take place and women are being reassured of the safety of the programme. Juliette Gash has more.
Last week, Vicky Phelan, who's now terminally ill, settled a case with the American lab who had found no anomalies in her 2011 smear test. In a review of 10 years of the cervical check programme, the HSE looked at the cases of 208 women who had developed cervical cancer, but who were previously told they had no anomalies. 17 women have died, but their cause of death is not yet clear. Patrick Lynch from the HSE says a number of the 208 women could have benefited from earlier intervention.
Of the 208, there were 175 where their interpretation did differ, but which, in their view, would have also led to a different clinical escalation of their care.
Of the 208, 162 women were not informed by their hospital that they were part of a review. Those women are now being contacted and will meet with a doctor this week. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says an inquiry will take place, and women are advised they can have a review of their smear at no cost if they're concerned. 6,000 women have already contacted a HSE cervical check helpline. Juliette Gash in Dublin.
Another deadline for progress in the ongoing MICA campaign in Donegal has passed. Before Christmas, Minister Damien English told people in Carndonagh that there would be news of a redress scheme by the end of April. Now he says it will be May or June. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue has criticised the government for repeatedly delaying the rollout of a MICA redress scheme. He says the government cannot continue putting this on the long finger.
Minister English, when he did meet with the homeowners in Carndonagh before Christmas, had committed to coming back with a response and indeed an update on a commitment with regard to a redress scheme by the end of April. That date has now passed. I've raised it in the Dáil last week with the Minister, and we'll be raising it again over the coming days and couple of weeks to try and ensure that that commitment is followed through on.
The latest indication from Minister English is it could be the end of June before we get a response now.
Yes, and that's simply unacceptable. There were two things that the Minister committed to. First of all, that the protocol for assessing homes, which is being developed by the National Standards Authority of Ireland, would be completed. That hasn't happened yet. And the other commitment he made was that the government would give a commitment on a redress scheme by the end of April. That hasn't happened yet either. One doesn't have to wait for the other, and I've made that point to the Minister on several occasions.
As you've said, you've raised this in the Dáil on several occasions. Senator McLaughlin has raised it on the floor of the Shannon, and several councillors have also raised it in Lifford and elsewhere. People are starting to ask, I mean, why is Minister English prevaricating on this?
There is no excuse for the delay. So many public representatives are raising it because it is such a massive issue for Donegal, and the estimate on the expert panel report was up to 5,000 homeowners could be affected. Avoiding dealing with the issue isn't going to make it go away. The onus is on the government to bring clarity, and they need to bite the bullet and actually put the redress scheme in place. People's patience is more than worn out at this stage with regard to giving the government the space in order to put a scheme together.
Two men who were wanted by the PSNI have been attacked in County Armagh over the weekend. A vigilante group set upon James White and Jason Lydiard, also known as Alexis Gusto, who were wanted for a number of offences by both the Gardaí and the PSNI. Both had previously served time for child sex offences. The pair were cornered in the Mullabon area and beaten with iron bars before being tied up and covered with blue paint on Saturday night. The two men were taken to hospital for treatment, where one remains this morning. The other has been arrested. The PSNI say there can never be an excuse for people to take the law into their own hands. The two men had spent some time in Donegal earlier this month before crossing back into Northern Ireland. Foyle Search and Rescue have confirmed that they have recovered a body from the River Foyle. At around 9:15 this morning, Foyle Search and Rescue emergency response teams were tasked by the PSNI to reports of a body being observed in the water. While no formal identification process has yet to take place, Pat Carlin, Education and Media Officer with Foyle Search and Rescue, says the family have been notified.
It's at 9:14 a.m. this morning, the Police Service of Northern Ireland tasked our emergency response teams to reports that a body had been observed in the river. We had a mobile unit and two boats with crew respond. They sadly located the body and had the task of recovering that body from the river.
And although no formal identification has taken place yet, there was searches ongoing for the past number of weeks.
Yes, there have been searches going on actually for a total of 11 days up until today, and the Police Service of Northern Ireland have stated that they have no suspicious circumstances surrounding this recovery, and the normal identification procedures will be carried out. I do believe the family have been informed.
People are being urged to make their views known on a number of proposed road developments in Donegal. 2 weeks ago, a consultation took place on three sections of the TEN-T network in Donegal, the Twin Towns Bypass, Letterkenny to Manor Cunningham and Manor Cunningham to Lifford Strabon A5 link. This week, a consultation takes place on the proposed Southern Relief Road in Letterkenny, which goes via Leck. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh is Mayor of the Letterkenny Municipal District.
There's proposed routes there and possible routes being discussed. There has been a consultation day about the TEN-T projects, but people can still make their observations and still make their contribution to that debate and still highlight the routes that they think that are best, and I would encourage people to do that. The same with the Southern Relief Road. There's a public consultation day coming up on that now. I think it's this Thursday. Again, I would ask people to go to the council offices and have a look at that and look at the route that are there and make their observations.
And that Southern Relief Road and Letterkenny, an important one. It goes out via Leck, and just like the Bonagie Road, it's very much designed to take pressure off the town centre, take pressure off the Polestar and station roundabouts, and anything that can do that and ease traffic in that direction is going to be important.
These developments are hugely important to the future of Letterkenny. We have to get these roads in place as soon as possible, but at least now we're at a stage where we're at these public consultation stages, so it's a start. People need to look at the bigger picture in this and realise that these things have to be done for Letterkenny.
As you said, these things have to be done, and the people of Letterkenny and the public representatives in the wider Donegal area have been saying that for quite some time. The big question they have now is, do the government equally realise that these things have to be done, and will the government respond in the appropriate way?
I think so, Donal, because, you know, there's more than intention here, and the emphasis on the city region for the North West. I think that's all good and it's all positive for the government, for whoever's in government for that matter, and I think there is a real role there to develop the North West to the best of its potential.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, stocking all the running footwear and accessories you need to go the distance.
It's almost 17 minutes past five, and time to lead a sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with rugby, and Ulster have confirmed the appointment of Dan McFarland as their new head coach. The Englishman has signed a 3-year contract with the province to succeed Yono Gibbs. McFarland has recently served as an assistant coach with Scotland, and they say he will remain with them until January. He has in-depth knowledge of the Irish game, having spent 15 years with Connacht as a player and then coach. Ulster Rugby's operations director, Brian Cunningham, says McFarland was their number one target. In Gaelic games, Shane Ward has left the Donegal under-17 management team. The Éireann club man, who is a former Leitrim senior manager, informed the players on Sunday night that he was stood down as coach. Donegal lost their Ulster Championship quarter-final 5-12 to 1-10 at the hands of neighbours Tyrone on Saturday evening in Ballybuffet. Their next outing will be in the qualifiers on Sunday, May 13th, against the winners of Antrim and Monaghan. Tyrone have received a major boost as they prepare to face Monaghan in the Ulster Senior Football Championship on May 20th. Tiernan McCann returned from injury and played a full club game with Killy Clougher against Moy at the weekend. He had been out of action since damaging a kneecap in Tyrone's National Football League One over Kildare on February the 11th. But concern has deepened over the availability of Colm Kavanagh. He can only watch on from the sideline as his Moy side scored a first one of the season. Kavanagh has still not returned to full training since suffering a quad muscle injury a couple of days before the league game against Kerry back in March. Derry City will look to return to winning ways tonight when they travel to face Limerick in the Premier Division of the SSE Air Trustee League. A draw at home with Shamrock Rovers last time out means Derry will be looking to get the first one in three games, while Limerick are coming off the back of a win over Bray. Derry's Nicky Lowe knows that his side need to pick up a win away from home tonight.
Yeah, obviously we know it's going to be a tough game. I think they got a good point against Rovers recently. Then they obviously got a great victory on Friday night. Yeah, so they're beginning a game full of confidence. And obviously we've drew the last two. It was a good performance in the dock. But Friday night we were disappointing. To be honest, I think you can't play well every week. And I think as a team, we just didn't click on the night. Shamrock Rovers played well, credit to them. They deserved a point, maybe a bit more. But listen, we fought until the end. We got a point and we'll take that all day. Now we know, when you're dropping points at home, you need to try and win your away games to stay up at round about European places. So it's a big game for us as well, as is Limerick, and we're looking forward to it.
Cork City can pile the pressure on the under-fire Shamrock Rovers head coach Stephen Bradley later. The Hoops are winless in their last six outings in the league ahead of the visit of the champions. Dundalk can close the gap on the leaders by beating St Patrick's Athletic. Bows look to end a three-game winless streak when they play Waterford. And Sligo can move out of the bottom two by beating fellow strugglers Bray Wanderers. Tottenham will look to bounce back from their FA Cup semi-final disappointment this evening. They welcome Watford to Wembley. Kick-off time to that game is at 8 o'clock. And other news coming out of England, Liverpool's assistant manager won't be involved with the squad for the rest of the season because of personal reasons, but the club have denied reports that he lost his job. They say that Ajuku Buvak's taken a leave of absence, but his role at Anfield won't be affected. He's been Jurgen Klopp's number two for 17 years. Liverpool face Roma in the Champions League semi-finals on Wednesday. They're 5-2 up from the first leg. Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers has ruled himself out of the running to succeed Arsene Wenger at Arsenal. Wenger will leave his job after 22 years in the post this summer. And former Liverpool boss Rodgers has been linked with the position in recent weeks. But the Northern Irishman intends to stay at Celtic. The Donegal International Rally takes place from the 15th to the 17th of June, and entries are now open for the 2018 running of the rally. The regulations and entry forms are available on the website donegalrally.ie, and the closing date for fully completed entry forms is the 15th of May. This year, the entry fee is set at €1,400, and the route for this year's rally will be announced closer to the big event. On the snooker front, Ding Zhihui is through to the World Championship quarterfinals. He wrapped up a 13-4 win over Anthony McGill to set up a last eight meeting with Barry Hawkins. Joining Ding in the last eight is Judd Trump. He'll play John Higgins after beating Ricky Walden by 13-9. This evening, Mark Williams will resume 10-6 up on Robert Milkins. And in racing, Ruby Walsh is hoping to make it back into the saddle next month. The multi-champion jockey has been sidelined since breaking his leg at the Cheltenham Festival, but he now says his next target is the Grand Steeple weekend, which will be held in France May 19th and 20th. That's it. Back with more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. A Donegal family who were denied access to the Lost at Sea scheme despite a 2009 recommendation from the Ombudsman are set to receive a payment after a lengthy campaign. In November 1981, Danny Byrne's father, Francis, brother James and three other crew members drowned when the Skiftured sank off Burton Port. In 2001, a Lost at Sea scheme was introduced, but it's claimed it wasn't publicised and only select people were informed. The Byrne family's application was deemed ineligible when it came in. The then Ombudsman Emily O'Reilly ruled in their favour in 2009, but that was rejected by the then government, leading to a lengthy campaign at home and in Europe. On today's 9 till noon show, Donnie Byrne confirmed the issue is close to resolution.
If you're looking for a David Goliath story, here it is, you know, where we were pitted against the state. However, you'll recall that David won the battle. This was a special report to the Oireachtas, and it was only the second such report in 40 years now. I don't think there's been a subsequent special report. And for a report like that to be rejected was absolutely sensational. Effectively, that report, well, hopefully now I have to hear more details, but hopefully that report is now implemented. So this situation has connotations for every single person in the state because, you know, it's open to anybody to make complaint to the Ombudsman if they're not satisfied with the actions of a public body, and that's exactly what we did. But however, the government were then referee in their own case. They were told that they must do this, and they failed to do so.
Have you had any formal confirmation? I know it's been reported that the money will be forthcoming. Have you had any official confirmation of that yet, Danny?
Yeah, well, it's in the process of being done, but I'm quite confident that will happen.
Pieta House is extending its premises in Letterkenny almost a year after it opened. A lease has been signed to take more space at the Grand Central building, where Pieta House has helped 312 people since opening in May of last year. The news comes less than 2 weeks before Pieta House's annual Darkness into Light walk, which takes place in the early hours of Saturday, May the 12th. Centre manager Dominic Gallagher says work on the extension will be completed in the coming months.
We're going to be moving in hopefully now in the next few months, probably get the construction work done, just fitting out the rooms and stuff like that. And we'll have extra therapy rooms for seeing clients, and then we'll also have extra space then for a waiting area. And we'll also have room for the suicide bereavement liaison officer that works with us here as well. They'll have their own space too.
Obviously, there's been a huge outpouring of public support for Pieta House at no point more so than during the Darkness into Light walk every year. It's coming up now in less than a fortnight's time. Registrations are open, and as ever, there's been a huge interest from the area.
There has been, yes, and even across Donegal, we've a couple of new venues as well, which haven't been running before. Yeah, there's always been a really strong support of Darkness into Light up here, and I suppose a lot of communities have sadly been affected by suicide, and families have been affected by it, and I suppose they're really coming together to try and make a change and to show that there's no stigma attached to this, and if people need help that they can get it. Having done the walk myself, it's quite an experience. You know, you'd think you were just going for an ordinary walk just rather early in the morning, but it really is. It's quite symbolic when you're with such a large group of people and you do set off in the darkness, and then you're coming back in and the light is, you know, the sun's coming up, And it really just emphasises to people that there is a way through and there is support.
For weather now, a bright end to the day with sunny spells and a few isolated showers and mostly light winds. It will be cold and dry tonight with lowest temperatures of 1 to 4 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Sinn Féin has called on an independent Donegal County Councillor to consider his position over allegations he made last week. Councillor Micheál Colmagill Osbach has claimed that a man was approached by Sinn Féin members and that at some point a threatened visit from the IRA was made. Another deadline for progress in the ongoing MICA campaign in Donegal has passed. Before Christmas, Minister Damien English told people in Carndonagh that there would be news of a redress scheme by the end of April. Now he says it will be May or June. Latest figures revealed today that there has been a large drop in the number of Enterprise Ireland supported companies in Donegal and 1,000 less jobs since 2001. Over the past 17 years, the number of Enterprise Ireland companies in Donegal has decreased from 194 to 125, coupled with a 22% decrease in jobs in Enterprise Ireland supported companies. And people are being urged to make their views known on a number of proposed road developments in Donegal. 2 weeks ago, a consultation took place on three sections of the 10T network in Donegal, the Twin Towns Bypass, Letterkenny to Manor Cunningham and Manor Cunningham to Lifford Strabane A5 link. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good afternoon. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, April the 30th. The death has taken place of Jean McKinley Cleggan Hornhead Dunfanaghy. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral service in Holy Trinity Church, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Clondahorkey Cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Harkin Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Catherine Doherty, Dublin, and formerly of Swilly Road, Buncrana. Funeral mass in the Church of the Holy Spirit, Kimmage Manor, Dublin at 12 o'clock on Tuesday, May the 8th. Body donated to medical research. The death has taken place of Patsy Brown, Ballydoroan, Burnfoot. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral tomorrow morning, leaving his home at 10:15, going to St Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Burt Cemetery. Family time please from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Junior McConnell Glackmore Muff. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral tomorrow afternoon, leaving his home at 1:15, going to the Sacred Heart Church Muff for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock. Interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member or Murphy's Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Mary Breen, Nate Craig, Cranny Lower, Inver, County Donegal. Her remains are reposing at her home until 10 o'clock tonight. Removal tomorrow morning for 11 o'clock funeral mass in St Noel's Church, Ardahi, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. House private before the funeral tomorrow, please.